My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
And now it's time for Trista Crick.
You will believe by the end of Hard Knocks that the Bears are going to win the NFC North. Maybe they'll be the next Houston Texans. Caleb Williams is going to hit the ground running. He's going to be the next Pat Mahomes his rookie year. There's a dangerous game that could be played for Bears fans with Hard Knocks.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Nothing like a little not like us as the sound bed over a little truth bomb. With a little sexual innuendo of Hard Knocks. It's coming, folks. The Hard Knocks is happening. I was looking for the schedule, and it's happening soon. Training camp for the Bears starts today. I'm Trista Crick. You're listening to 670 The Score on a Cubs Saturday. I don't even know if we can call it. It's really like a Bears training camp Saturday. It's not a Cubs Saturday. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. By the way, give me a call, 312-644-6767. We're going to talk Bears, Cubs, Sox, Bulls, Sky. The pie is going to be different, though. It's not going to be all equal. Mostly Bears. That's where the excitement is. And I want to hear from you. I want to hear how you're feeling, because I could have considered the MLB All-Star break to be the halfway point of the summer, which is insane, right? It feels like it was just June 1st. It feels like I just did my first show on The Score. Time is flying. With you guys, it's because I'm having a lot of fun, I think. And Robbie's doing a phenomenal job. Robbie, you got to give him a little credit on the ones and twos, my producer, Trista. Robbie Triana.
It's all you.
You know what it is. When we're not getting sick by eating something we're not supposed to, we're pretty good together, honestly. So I thought up top, this would be as good of a time as any to kind of like start it off broad, give a state of the union for Chicago sports, you know what I mean? Let's go to the South Side for just a second, because that's the team we kind of got to get out of the way. The dregs of Chicago sports, and that's the White Sox. Sox fans, wherever you are, whoever you are, pull over if you're driving. Sit down if you're at home, because the stats and the truth bombs, it's going to get ugly fast. So we right now, we're 100 games into the season, right? The Sox have 27 wins. Let me repeat it. The Sox have 27 wins. We're at the All-Star break. We are at the All-Star break, and the Sox have a 276 winning percentage, which would be an amazing batting average if you were the Cubs, which we cannot speak for them right this second. That is one of the 10 worst in the history of baseball right now. That translates to an incredibly bad 45 wins over the course of a Major League Baseball season. My God. To say it's gone off the rails probably would be an understatement. We'll break it down some more if you'd like. Second worst the Sox are in batting average at .220. They are the Sox last in on-base percentage at .282. The Sox are dead last in slugging percentage at .347. Dead last in OPS at .629. There's so many of these. This is so crazy. Last in runs scored. Second to last in walks. That's just hitting. The pitching is just as bad, by the way. Third worst ERA in Major League Baseball. Dead last in saves. This is the White Sox. Second most runs given up. Third most home runs given up. Most walks given up. And if you're wondering how the vibes are, fourth lowest attendance in Major League Baseball. Oh, man. You want to talk about suckage. And I'm not talking about good suckage. I'm talking about the perfect storm of bad suckage. You have to work so hard to be this bad in so many categories. It's not even like there's just one thing wrong. Like everything is wrong. Sox have the fifth worst fielding percentage in all of baseball. So this team can't hit, they can't pitch, they cannot field. Gross. And the second half started out the same way the first half began. Pretty much all around awful. Chris Flexen gave up 7 runs in 4 2/3 innings. While the bats went silent again, the Royals, walk a flock of flame, pitched 7 scoreless. Yeah, you know what it is, Robbie. You know what it is. 7 scoreless innings in a 7-1 loss. But hey, listen. Major League Baseball did rank the Sox minor league system as the 20th best in baseball. So that is a slight improvement. You do have that going for you. Man, you got to be feeling like the season cannot end fast enough. You can't wait for the 2020s to end either. But at least, like, really truly, like, to be frank, at least you have Garrett Crochet. But he's being rumored to be on the trade block. So I don't know if that's the bright side or not so much. So let's move from the south side to the north side. We'll talk about the Cubs more in depth in the last segment, but they have had a very bizarre season, full of gloom, full of doom. But if we're talking about being an optimist, they're only 5 games under .500 right now, which puts them just 3.5 games back of the National League wild card, which is, you know, last year at this point, the Cubs were 5.5 games back of the wild card. And if you recall, they finished just 1 game out of the playoffs. So, hey, this could be, if you are really Jed Hoyer, you're saying to the fans, listen, we're better than we were last year, and we were right there. We were right there. Murda, I don't believe you. They had a very tough loss to the D-backs last night, 5-2. But they were 8-3 headed to the break. So what does this mean for the rest of the season? Let's just ask Justin Steele. He says we're in a very similar situation as we were in last year. And we were 1 game away from the playoffs last year. And there's a bunch of different things that can happen over the course of the season where one win turns into a loss or one loss turns into a win. My man just tap dancing around words. That was a word salad, wasn't it? I don't even know how he feels about this team right now based on that quote. Is this little hot streak fool's gold, or is there a real opportunity to save their season? Because on one hand, this team's 8-4 in their last 12. But on the other hand, they're just 6-4 in their last 10. I have many thoughts on this, and we'll get into it in the last segment of the show. But for now, at least they're not the afterthought. And that's kind of a victory, given how bad June was, really. And May. Remember, I was talking all that Gemini season stuff, right? Like, I was trying to get us all hyped. I'm sorry, folks. It's now, we're now dead in the middle of Cancer season, and things are just starting to warm up. On to the Blackhawks. I know it's not hockey season, but we're touching them all. Pause. If you're Hawks fans, if you're a Hawks fan, all the glass is either half full or half empty. You're coming off a really, really bad year, 23-53-6, which was the second worst record in all of hockey. How do y'all really like continue watching teams when there's just so much bad sports going on? On the plus side, though, Connor Bedard, who met expectations as the Calder Trophy winner, having a rookie of the year, I think, is exactly how you rebuild a franchise. And Connor Bedard, he's got all the hallmarks, baby, of a true superstar. 22 goals, 61 points as an 18-year-old in a grown man's league. That is exceptional. FYI, Blackhawk Rookie of the Years include Patrick Kane, pretty damn good. Eddie Belfour, Tony Esposito. That's some elite company, right? Elite. Plus, they were given an A grade in June's draft when they took a bruising defenseman, Artem Levchinov, Michigan State, best defenseman in all of the Big Ten, maybe in all of college hockey. Things are kind of, you know, looking a little something. I'm not sure if it's like something we can really put our teeth into or love or build off of. But listen, that's good. You follow it up with an 18-year-old center in Sasha Boysford. And then you cap off a stellar first round with left wing Merrick Vanacker. Hats off to the GM, Kyle Davidson. Maybe you could say right now is the GM that you have the most faith in of all the Chicago sports teams. Which, listen, considering the history, I'll just leave it at that. On the minus side, the Hawks are a team that very much need more talent, particularly at the forward position. Don't love what's available on the free agent market, so I think it's going to be another development year, which probably means another year without a ton of wins. There's pressure to sign veterans, but I think that's just appeasing the fan base. I don't think that's in the best interest of the team going forward. That's a very, like, Chicago Band-Aid approach. We're not feeling that. Like, I don't know about y'all, but I'm not feeling that whatsoever. But I do think if you're a Hawks fan, you have solid reasons to be optimistic. Which is the exact opposite you should be if you're a Chicago Bulls fan. This franchise is a hot mess. Hot mess. Their offseason is as follows. We've talked about it before. Last time I was on the air, you moved DeRozan for 2 seconds and Chris Duarte. And you came out of the trade with the worst players in the worst draft class. You trade Caruso for Giddey straight up, and you had the opportunity to get first-round picks, plural. And you said, nah. We want to, like, get people excited so we can finesse them into buying more season tickets, even though we know we're not going to be a good team next year. Whack. You signed Patrick Williams, 5 years, $90 million. Not a huge problem with that, given how little of the salary cap he's going to take up. And let's be honest, you'll probably have to sell him, and then another team will take him and develop him better than you, and then he'll probably end up being pretty good. You signed Jalen Smith, one hell of a player, but that took away your opportunity to take on Harrison Barnes' contract in the DeRozan trade and then take on the 2031 first-round pick swap with the Sacramento Kings. Probably need to stock up on assets. So you still have a move, Vucha Levine, and you're probably going to have to give up assets to do so, which will be terrible for the future. And then you probably have to play them both in order to move them if you don't want to give up picks. So the Vooch contract is going to turn into one of the worst in Bulls history, probably on both ends. We also have Bulls insider Will Gottlieb. He's been doing a hell of a job reporting, by the way. He has been putting out Bulls content after Bulls content all summer long. We're going to talk to him. I am not optimistic, though, about their immediate future. Finally, because this is where it gets good. We're excited about this one, aren't we? It's Bears time. Bears training camp opened today. And I think probably there's more excitement around this team, more intrigue around this team than any Bears team in recent memory. And we'll talk about this later on in the show too. I think maybe the Bears might be the most intriguing team in the NFL, period, hands down. So we have next segment, because Robbie's doing his job. We have Bears insider Chris Emma on. He's going to be breaking down the training camp in depth. But other than Caleb Williams, who we'll also talk about, here are who you should keep an eye on. Number one is the linebacker core. So Bears put $100 million into their linebacker core this offseason. You signed Tremaine Edmonds, 4 years, $72 million. TJ Edwards, 3 years, $19.5 million. I really like Tremaine Edmonds. I think I ran into Tremaine Edmonds actually in the elevator of a Las Vegas during Super Bowl week, and I got him confused with his twin. He was very disappointed, by the way. Like, whatever crick fever he was spitting at, that immediately was like the air went out of a balloon. I like Tremaine Edmonds, though. If you see him, tell him I'm sorry. He's an all-pro, and I'm really excited to see what he can do in this scheme. He was top 10, by the way, in the entire NFL in combined tackles. So in many ways, the linebacker core is the heart and soul of this team, and they get significantly better this offseason, adding to a defense that was already very nasty when they took on Montez Sweat. Number two, got to get excited about the wide receiver core. We got to have our eyes on them. Woo! Are we excited? When is the last time somebody was like, yo, are the Bears wide receiver core like the most electric in the NFL? I'm not saying that they are. I'm just saying that they're in that category. They could be Detroit Lions-esque, and truthfully, outside the tight end position, this is no shade to Cole Kmet, but I love Sam Laporta. Like, they're like top to bottom, bro. Top to bottom. And I know you got Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, but I absolutely love DeAndre Swift as a pass catcher. So the Bears sign slot receiver Keenan Allen. Woo! He's one of the best route runners in the league. And then you add the guy who killed my team in college, former Washington wide receiver Roma Dunze. I got up close look at how nasty that man is. And he and Keenan Allen both join DJ Moore as an extremely dangerous 1-2-3 punch. I love the Keenan Allen signing. You know that Caleb will always, you know, these rookies, they need a veteran safety valve. And that is Keenan Allen. There's just no more sure-handed wide receiver that can run precise routes as him. If Keenan Allen is perfectly healthy, which we know that's been an issue in the past, he's going to be the guy. And he's known as one of the best at route running in the clutch as well on third down. So that's going to be huge, especially when Caleb gets flushed out of the pocket or comes out under heavy pressure, because we know also that was the one Achilles heel that Caleb Williams had at USC. When the pocket collapses, what happens? And now he's got somebody in addition to Cole Kmet that he can give the ball to. By the way, Keenan Allen targeted on short routes 37 times on third and fourth down, catching over 75% of the balls sent his way. Genius pickup. I tell you what, the Bears will discover, fans are going to discover fast why this guy's a six-time Pro Bowler. And then as for Rome, he is the burner that this team needs to open up the offense. I absolutely love this receiving core. Then the D-backs, man, they led the NFL in 22 interceptions last year. So this is a strength. Jalen Johnson parlayed a four-interception season into a four-year extension. So he's going to look to prove that he was worth the money. And then the running back position. That was kind of lost in the offseason. DeAndre Swift, friendly, team-friendly deal, $24 million contract for 3 years. He goes along with Khalil Herbert and Rashawn Johnson. They will lose a big part of the running game now that Justin Fields is gone, but I think DeAndre Swift is extremely underrated. Just 24 years old, going to be in his prime, coming off a 1,000-yard season where he averaged 4.6 yards per carry in Philadelphia. I like his pass-catching ability. I don't think Philly really ever took advantage of that. Detroit did somewhat. Robbie knows. That's his team. And I feel like we got to see a little bit more of it two teams ago. But he's going to be also another reliable safety valve for Caleb in the passing game. So, folks, we've got excitement for this Bears team. That's the thing you need to watch out at training camp for. Also, we got to talk about the O-line a little bit because it all hinges on that. Give me a call, though. I want to hear your thoughts on Bears training camp. We've got a couple of hours underway of training camp already happened. I'd like to know your excitement level. How are you feeling? Are you all in? Do you believe in the hype? Or as Robbie calls it, hopium. That sounds like something that could put you in an alley, a dark alley there, strung out on hope.
It's the number one drug in sports is hopium, and you do not want to be addicted to it, especially in the offseason.
It's an epidemic, hopium. Call me, 312-644-6767. Up next, Bears insider Chris Emma? Oh, yeah. Do not go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
I mean, all you can be is excited to get to, be able to be here with people like that. We got great vets. Obviously, we got some good young guys, Rome and you know, a bunch of other guys, whether undrafted, you know, whether they were drafted. And then we got some guys from other teams that are vets and been in the league. And so, you know, the talent and all of that can only go so far, as everybody always says. So we have to work together, build a bond, build the trust between each other, and go get it.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
That was Caleb Williams on the impending excitement that is buzzing around the city of Chicago. I'm Trista Crick here on 670 The Score. Give us a call, 312-644-6767. Is this the most excited you've been in the history of being a Bears fan right this very second? Joining us right now, though, to talk about training camp and more is Chris Emma, Bears reporter for 670 The Score, also a contributor for the Marquee Network. Find him on X at CEmma670 and Instagram on the gram at CEmmaSports. Guests join us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Thanks for joining us, Chris. How you feeling?
Trista, what's up? How we doing?
No, I want to know how you're feeling, my man. What is popping at training camp?
Yeah, day one of the books. Look, it wasn't the roaring starters you'd imagine. They are going through lighter, a lot of walkthrough stuff. They are not in pads for another few days or so, but they were back in the grass. Caleb Williams out there leading the first team offense. He got a defense that believes it could be a top 10 unit in the league, and the vibes are good right now. This is a team that has high hopes, but they also understand you got to work for it. You got to put forth the effort to be that kind of team, and they certainly seem motivated to go.
In terms of Shane Waldron's offense, from what you gather, because I know you mentioned we didn't see a lot today, how similar are we going to see it compared to what we saw in Seattle, and how much of a match does this coaching staff think it's going to be for Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I think it might be a little apples to oranges in terms of what they had in Seattle just because of the personnel. I think this might sound alarming to Bears fans, but please don't be alarmed by this. It might be a lot similar in ways to what we saw against the offense, simply because it is the same base formation offense. It is the same outside zone scheme. It's going to be run heavy in a lot of ways. You're going to really lean on your personnel because this is the personnel they've been building the last three off seasons now under the watch of Ryan Poles. But it's a different man at the helm. It's a different coordinator. It's different play calling styles. It's a much different approach. And I'm really curious to see how this kind of all comes together, because you do have a very talented young quarterback you're developing, and you're got win now goals while also understanding the long term development track of Caleb Williams. You have great talent around him, and you talk about those three receivers, a tight end like Cole Kmet. This still is going to be a really run-featured offense led by DeAndre Swift, who was the very first phone call they made in free agency, the first big deal they made, moments into the open negotiation window period where they get him on that three-year, $24 million deal. He is going to be a really important and I think a really impressive piece for this offense. When you talk about a guy who's been really reliable, dynamic rusher who still seems to be arrow pointing up at this stage in his career. So I'm really curious to see how Shane Waldron pieces together the identity of this offense based on what was left for him by Luke Getsy and left for him in terms of personnel, but also obviously putting his own twist on this here.
Yeah, and you've been covering this team for, this is your 10th season. Can you contextualize how much buzz there is around the Bears? Robbie calls it hopium. In the time that you've covered the team, have you seen anything even close to this level before?
I mean, if we're being real, and this is going to sound alarming, but probably 2019, the lead up to that, like you're talking about a team in 2018 that went 12-4, won the division, lost in heartbreaking fashion, obviously in the playoffs, but came back with that same group. And that was year three for Mitch Trubisky, where everybody thought he was going to take that leap. And I remember the narratives around that team was, man, they got everything except for a kicker. And obviously, it backfired on them. This is a much different team. This is a team that's at the beginning stages and the infancy of what they hope is long-term success, lasting success that this franchise has not seen before. And they're in position. The beauty of doing this the hard way, as Ryan Poles had to do it, where you're tearing down the roster to the studs and starting over, is you've got a pretty complete roster. You've got a roster when you look around and you don't see many glaring holes. You can see small holes to fill that any team has, but you're in a really good place with this roster. Not to mention big picture, multi-year picture, your salary cap is very healthy right now. You've not blown through this cap space. That is still a great luxury to have, and it goes a long way And you still got some more coming back from Carolina next year. You got a second-round pick still coming back in that deal. So, look, everything is in place for this team to have the type of lasting success. And I think that's the difference, obviously, major difference from 2019, which is the only year that can compare in hype, is that it feels more, much more real and sustainable this time.
Yeah, and that's, like, I guess, what I wonder about in terms of, you know, the pressure to live up to the buzz in year one, because it feels like if you're building something sustainable and the team and fan base knows that, that you don't have to necessarily succeed wins and losses wise in order for people to see it as a success. For you, would a losing season with a successful quarterback campaign from Caleb Williams be enough? Is it enough for him to play well, or does this team have to win a specific amount of games in order for, you know, the collective to see it as a success?
That's a great question. Yeah, I almost kind of look at it twofold. Like, how is Caleb developing, and also how is the rest of the roster doing? Like, look, if it comes together in one where Caleb Williams is the reason why this team is winning a lot of games and having a ton of success, that's fantastic. That is the ultimate goal. But you might have a situation that, let's be real, he's a rookie quarterback. There's potential for struggles early on. There's an adapting period he's got to go through. But once he gets through that, and I don't think it'll be much for him, he's ready to handle all this, then he can be the reason why you're winning games. The beauty of this roster, though, is you've got a great defense. I think not just a good defense, a great defense. And you got an offense, as we just mentioned, that you don't have to lean on Caleb Williams to be the reason why you're winning. You can lean on the running game and the identity that's in place. And you can play not necessarily the most sexy style of football and still win a lot of games with this team. So, yeah, you're right. This is the infancy of this, and there's not necessarily that win now urgency, but there is also the need to see considerable growth for this thing and to take a big step forward. And look, obviously for Matt Eberflus, year three, it's a big year for him. He's got to be a key part of why this team is developing the right way and having that kind of success.
You mentioned, I was going to ask this kind of closer to the end of the interview, but you mentioned in your recent article that jobs were on the line this year. To me, that's like a very scary, severe statement where if it doesn't look a certain way, you know, guys could lose their jobs. Is that kind of what you meant in terms of your reporting? And if so, how up the food, high up the food chain does that statement go?
Yeah, I mean, I've not heard anything directly in terms of, say, a number that Matt Eberflus has to hit or something like that. But he's a man, look, he was, in a way, kind of spared his job this offseason. They took 3 days of waiting and trying to figure out whether he would be the right guy for this team to move forward with. And ultimately, they decided that was the case, that he was somebody they could press forward with as their head coach. But he needs to be a key part of that success. He can't just be along for the ride. He can't just be the defensive-minded guy who leads a very good group there. He has to be the head coach of a team that is making considerable growth, if not reaching the playoffs with a winning record. And so I'm going to be really curious to follow Matt Eberflus in particular. And you might have to make a difficult decision if the season doesn't go the way you wanted to and change the head coach. But I'll give Eberflus a lot of credit for the way that he's built this thing with the coaching staff that he can lean on. He understands when he needs to be that CEO head coach and lead the way, and also when he needs to delegate to his assistants. And he's got good people around him. He trusts everybody on his staff. He trusts the analytics. He trusts certainly the front office. And I think he's got a great frame of mind to lead this team forward this year.
I wanted to ask you about Caleb Williams' deal, because it felt like one of the longest rookie contract negotiations I've seen in a long time. He finally gets done, you know, right at the stroke of midnight, it seems. And I was reading about some of the contract language that his team tried to add into the contract. And what I took away from that is that it feels to me that Caleb, even as a rookie, knows he's got a lot of power and where he fits into the hierarchy. And he's ready to wield that power right away. You've been covering this team a long time, like I mentioned. Is that how you see it? And is that how the Bears as an organization see it?
Look, yeah, Caleb Williams is the poster child of a new movement, certainly in college athletics and really in major professional athletics now. One of these young athletes who came up, he was the poster boy of NIL. He got paid a lot of money legally that guys weren't being paid legally before him. And he's been put in this spotlight. He's been in commercials. He's gotten a lot of money. He's handled himself at a different level than peers previous to him. And so He understands the power that's in place, and it's only going to grow from here as athletes continue to get different power, certainly the college athletics game, and then obviously at the pro level as well. He's done this differently, too, in terms of the fact that he's representing himself. It's not something the league or the union advise, but it's something he's comfortable and confident with. There's an odd dynamic that goes with that, where he has to be the person speaking directly with the team, really kind of relaying what his lawyers and financial people are telling him and advising him. So he went about this in a bold way, and he should. I like the fact that he's curious about this stuff and seeing what he can get and trying to push it to the limits, obviously leading up to the start of camp where he is out there on the field, and he did get the deal done. So he talked about it. There were some late nights. They had back-to-back nights where they were at the negotiating table till midnight and really working through the fine language on this. But good for him, man. More power to him. And this is only going to continue to grow from here as we get more NIL college athletes.
Oh, no. We hope to get Chris back. Goodness, because he was spitting a little bit of the tea about Caleb. He's back? You there, Chris?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we kind of summed that up just in terms of, like, what he's done himself. A lot of it for Caleb feels related to the fact that the Bears have never had a franchise-altering quarterback since Otto Graham in the 50s, and they're like that girl that finally has the catch.
Yep.
Do you feel like if Caleb was drafted to another place, he has as much power as he has with the Bears?
Maybe. Yeah, that's a good question. I think it probably to some degree. I also, you know, based on my understanding, with a lot of it mentioned Justin Fields' negotiations in 21 and some of the compromises that were made, and then Mitch Trubisky in 17. And if you're Ryan Poles, the simple response is that was a different regime. They did things a different way. Here's how we're doing it. Look, they're proposing a much different plan for their young quarterback than their predecessors, and they're doing things really well at Hallis Hall. Tons of things you see on the field, obviously naming Caleb the starter, but putting the right sounding boards around him inside of Hallis Hall and really understanding what they need to do to develop Caleb Williams the right way, while also understanding that he's different and he can handle things. They're not coddling him like I kind of felt they coddled Mitch Trubisky too much in certain ways. They're not going to coddle this kid. They know that he's ready. It's the terms of the negotiation period, like we said, there's power in Caleb Williams' hand, and he understands that. I like the fact that these were complex negotiations, and this is a kid who understands what he needs for the big picture, and he's got high aspirations for his long-term career.
When's the last time you've seen a Chicago athlete with this much juice?
Man, that's a good... Yeah. Derrick Rose comes to mind, obviously, in the hockey side with guys like Kane and Taze. This kid can be a transcendent superstar in Chicago for a decade plus. Like, there's no reason to put any limits on it, put any ceiling on it. He is the guy, the face of the most popular and important team in town, playing the most important position in sports. He's the number one overall pick. He's been through so many things to this point in his young football life to reach this stage in his career, and he's ready for everything. And it's incredibly exciting if you're a Bears fan to think about the possibilities and where this thing can go. And you look around the league in the NFL and the great teams, you can pinpoint their success to a great quarterback and a young quarterback who's there to stay. Mahomes, obviously, Josh Allen, you go all down the line, Lamar Jackson, and just so many guys like this who have been pressed into this position, handled everything the way they should, and understood what it takes to be great. And I think the Bears have one of these guys. I really do believe Caleb Williams can be great for this franchise. And you think about the promise ahead for Chicago football, man, it's you're on potentially the beginning stages of something really special.
What sticks out to you? I mean, what do you personally see from Caleb that makes you believe that as a quarterback, not just on the field, but as a person and someone who's ready to step in and be the face of the franchise right away?
Yeah, I can pinpoint a lot of things in terms of the on the field, right? The processing level is elite level. It's something that you don't get as a rookie. There's a lot of veterans in this league, great accomplished veteran quarterbacks who don't have the processing level he does. It's advanced. That's a gift. Not to mention the arm talent, the abilities that he has, naturally God-given. But what really makes me believe in this kid is the fact of what we've so spoken about, is that he's been through all this in his young life, in his young football career. Five-star recruit out of Washington, big-time prospect coming out, goes to Oklahoma, builds his brand there, makes the bull move to USC, wins the Heisman. He's been the projected number one pick in this draft for like a year and a half leading up to the actual draft pick. Like, he's been put in this position, and he's embraced every bit of it. Nothing surprises him. Nothing phases him. He's savvy at the media podium, which I know is a small thing, and people think it doesn't matter, but that's representing yourself in the franchise. He is very smooth in front of his teammates. He's a leader, a natural leader, somebody who steps in as a first-year player, and teammates believe in him. He does so many things behind the scenes. Those late nights in the hotel with Keenan Allen, where they're both playing cards and building a connection, but also going through play calls together. Keenan Allen's been in the league for a dozen years, and he's leading on a rookie because he understands that this kid is advanced level. He's cut out for this. He's built the right way. He comes from a great family, a great upbringing, and he's been preparing for this moment for many years now. It's where you believe that it's going to work out for him, and it's going to work out for the Bears.
So I believe that the Bears are the most interesting team. Maybe not like the most exciting, because we don't really know and there's a lot of exciting teams, but the most intriguing, the most interesting team in the NFL. Who do you have at the top of that spot?
I mean, you can certainly make a strong case for the Bears being that bunch. I think this NFC North is incredibly fascinating. I mean, you can make a case for any of the four teams to have success. The Lions were that team a year ago, right? They were the team in July of 23. We were saying they're ready to make that leap. I was a little skeptical, and they proved me dead wrong. They were so close to reaching the Super Bowl. The Packers, I know everybody doesn't want to hear about it in Chicago, but they won a playoff game. They came out of nowhere. They got a young franchise quarterback. They can take a really big step forward. I don't want to count out the Vikings by any means. Like, they still got Justin Jefferson. They probably should have done a hard rebuild a couple years ago, but they've transitioned a quarterback now where at some point you go from Darnold to McCarthy. We'll see what he can do. J.J. McCarthy's a winner. He's really highly thought of around the league, and they could be a really intriguing team too. So, I mean, the old black and blue division is going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, no doubt. Before I let you run, what are you looking forward to seeing as training camp progresses, specifically that gives you positive or negative flags?
I tell you what, I want to see some days where you're walking off the practice field thinking, man, they got after it. Like, Matt Eberflus is really big on the fundamentals, and that's great. They do a lot of walkthrough details, and they really rehearse things the right way. But this team started 0-4 last year, and they did kind of a lighter camp, so to speak, I think, compared to other teams. I don't see them getting after it consistently. I want to see them really go hard. I want to see those days in the hot summer sun where they are grinding. They are really pushing through at a fast pace. There's fights. Fights are okay. Like, it's guys making each other better and really pushing each other. I want to see a tough physical training camp, and talking more so in August, not July, this first week where they're kind of installing things. But when you get into the midsummer, in mid-August, and you're really getting after it, that's when I can see if this team's getting truly better or not. They can't have a tough start this year. This is a favorable stretch out of the gates for this team, a team that believes it can be a playoff group this year. I want to see this training camp really set the tone for a strong start to the season.
Awesome. Good stuff. Thank you so much for joining us, Chris. That was awesome.
Take care.
Yes, good stuff from Chris. Follow his work here and on the Marquee Network on X. You can follow him on social media, CEmma670 and CEmmaSports on the gram. Slide into his DMs. Tell him how good of a job he's doing. Up next, folks, up next, is this the start of something big? Is this the biggest training camp of your lifetime? Am I crazy? Am I being hyperbolic? Because I usually am. We'll talk about it more next on 670 The Score. I'm Trista Crick. Don't go anywhere.
I want to see some days where you're walking off the practice field thinking, man, they got after it. But this team started 0-4 last year, and they did kind of a lighter camp, so to speak, I think, compared to other teams. I don't see them getting after it consistently. I want to see them really go hard. I want to see those days in the hot summer sun where they are grinding. They are really pushing through at a fast pace. There's fights. Fights are okay. Like, it's guys making each other better and really pushing each other. They can't have a tough start this year. This is a favorable stretch out of the gates for this team, a team that believes believes it can be a playoff group this year. I want to see this training camp really set the tone for a strong start to the season.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Man, Chris Emma was an excellent guest. He was just talking right there about what he wants to see in training camp in order to feel confident and good vibes about how this team is going to start. I think some of the language there, I'm not going to say he said it outright because he didn't. There's a little bit of softness that he has experienced in terms of this team not wanting to get after it. And that dog mentality needs to come out in order for him to feel confident that this is a team that can start quick. And there's a lot of expectations right now around the Bears. I was just in the restroom. National media is going crazy right now on Caleb Williams. They said if Caleb Williams does not do what C.J. Stroud did, I swear this is happening right now. If Caleb Williams does not surpass or at least keep up with what C.J. Stroud did last year, he's a failure. That's what they said. I didn't say that, but that's what they are saying. If you missed the full interview with Chris Emma, by the way, definitely go back on the Odyssey app and hit the rewind button, or later on, find it wherever you get your podcast. I know my man Robbie's going to put it up for us. So Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever the other little rinky-dink ones that you use, no worries. I'm sure it'll be there as well. But I have a question for y'all. Is this the biggest training camp of your lifetime? Is it? My goodness, it certainly feels like that, because the last time I can remember anywhere near this kind of buzz was, 2005, 2007, when the Bears won a couple of NFC North titles under Lovey. I know that Chris Emma thought it was 2019 with Mitch Trubisky, but remember, under Lovey, they went to the Super Bowl following the 2006 season, so team had a lot of excitement then. They had a world-class defense. It's like typical Bears MO. World-class defense, bruising running game led by Thomas Jones and Cedric Benson. Had one of the best special teams in history with Robbie Gould. Remember Robbie Gould when he was good? Brad Maynard. Goodness. And then you had the greatest kick returner of all time in Devin Hester. But what's different to me about that team from this team, although they did have a first-round pick under center in Rex Grossman, was anything but sexy. Like, they were just all the things except for hot, right? Like, if you're going to compare that Bears team to a young lady or a young man, like, good on paper, does all the right stuff, respectful, shows up on time, your parents like them, parents have a text exchange for them, maybe got a dad bod, though. Like, maybe not a great dresser, though. Take them out with your friends. You kind of like, they don't always look like this kind of thing. You know what I mean? That was the Bears then. And now you look at Caleb Williams and Rome and the rest of this squad, and you're like, oh, no. This is like an Instagram thought with a PhD. That's what this has, the idea of being, right? Sexy. By the way, Rexy was anything but sexy. He had 18 turnovers. Oh, Robbie likes that one. Rexy was anything but sexy. 18 turnovers himself in the final 7 games of the 2007 season. This 2024 team, in my opinion, has generated way more buzz and intrigue than those teams. Other than Caleb, which we'll discuss next segment, I've got some questions that we are sexy. Things are good, but we've got some questions. Number one question, which I think is fascinating, kind of the biggest non-talked about storyline about the Bears, is the backup quarterback situation. The Bears have chosen on purpose to say, F a backup. Nope, it's not happening for Caleb. There is none. No, sir. You get Tyler Bagent, sir. We don't even want any indication that you've got any sort of semblance of someone who can step in if things go wrong. No shot. And that is so rare, even for quarterbacks or franchise or quarterbacks like that, are really good. I went down the list And there's like three or four only that don't have backups. Justin Herbert being one of them with Easton Stick. And we know how Easton Stick was. God awful. But like to roll with Tyler Bagent shows, listen, fan base. Listen, everyone. Listen, you, Caleb. You are our savior. And there is no time for you to get massaged into this offense. No quarterback controversy if he struggles. No one will replace him short of death, hospital wing. Because it's Bagent and Brett Rippon. By the way, Brett Rippon was so bad in his last start last year that the Rams cut him 2 days later. So, Caleb, you got to feel cozy with your position. Because that is you, baby, and only you. Also, curious what Shane Waldron's offense will look like. Really, really interesting that Chris Emma said, actually, it might look a little more like Luke Getsy than you think. I tell you what, I don't know about y'all, but I was like, woo, woo. I don't know if it's actually true because I've been watching YouTube highlights of the differences between the Luke Getsy system and the Shane Waldron system. More of like a Shanahan offense. A lot of like pre-snap motion. DeAndre Swift's going to be all over the field with reverses. So I think that Caleb might be in shotgun, two tight end sets. You know what I'm saying? Exciting, right? Those Seahawks offenses were very hard to scheme for because they were very unpredictable. So in many ways, Shane Waldron's the perfect OC to me for Caleb. How is it going to look? That's the question mark. And then thirdly, the pass rush I'd like to see continue to take strides. The Bears have Montez Sweat, one of the best in the league, fresh off of a four-year, $98 million extension. He's a monster. Keep in mind, by the way, because he set a combine record as a defensive lineman for the 40 time at 4.41. And by the way, Puka Nacua ran a 4.57 40. That's disgusting, guys. That is absolutely disgusting. But the problem for me and the question for me is, other than Sweat, who's going to get after the quarterback? Who is it going to be? Will it be DeMarcus Walker stepping up? A lot of pressure is going to be put on Jervon Dexter, who is on a milk carton the first half of last year. Zero sacks, just nine pressures in the last eight games of last year. So either they add a veteran or somebody's got to step up their game. And then finally, to me, it's the offensive line. We all got to be wondering, questioning, and I'll get to Ray probably back after the top of the hour. But PFF is ranking the Bears number 11 for their O-line. And when asked about the starting unit, Eberflus only said, wee-oo, we'll see how it goes. Folks, when someone, and you ask somebody, hey, how's it going to be? And they say, well, we'll see. They are not sure themselves. Ryan Bates at center serves as the rock, but I like the young guns in Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright. We still don't know who's going to play right guard. In a perfect world, that's Nate Davis. But with his injury history, that's no sure thing. For y'all, and I will get to some calls right after the top of the hour. What do you think? What are we supposed to be looking for at training camp to either give us green flags or pink flags? I need to hear from you. 312-644-6767. And also up next, where does Caleb Williams rank in terms of his power among his peers in all of sports right now? What he just did with his contract negotiations feels a little like Michael Jordan and Nike. Do not go anywhere. We will be back. I'm Trista Crick. This is 670 The Score. We'll be back right after this.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I want to see some days where you're walking off the practice field thinking, man, they got after it. This team started 0-4 last year, and they did kind of a lighter camp, so to speak, I think, compared to other teams. I don't see them getting after it consistently. I want to see them really go hard. I want to see those days in the hot summer sun where they are grinding. They are really pushing through at a fast pace. There's fights. Fights are okay. Like, it's guys making each other better and really pushing each other. They can't have a tough start this year. This is a favorable stretch out of the gates for this team, a team that believes it can be a playoff group this year. I want to see this training camp really set the tone for a strong start to the season.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Man, Chris Emma was an excellent guest. He was just talking right there about what he wants to see in training camp in order to feel confident and good vibes about how this team is going to start. I think some of the language there, I'm not going to say he said it outright because he didn't. There's a little bit of softness that he has experienced in terms of this team not wanting to get after it. And that dog mentality needs to come out in order for him to feel confident that this is a team that can start quick. And there's a lot of expectations right now around the Bears. I was just in the restroom. National media is going crazy right now on Caleb Williams. They said if Caleb Williams does not do what C.J. Stroud did, I swear this is happening right now. If Caleb Williams does not surpass or at least keep up with what C.J. Stroud did last year, he's a failure. That's what they said. I didn't say that, but that's what they are saying. If you missed the full interview with Chris Emma, by the way, definitely go back on the Odyssey app and hit the rewind button, or later on, find it wherever you get your podcast. I know my man Robbie's going to put it up for us. So Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever the other little rinky-dink ones that you use, no worries. I'm sure it'll be there as well. But I have a question for y'all. Is this the biggest training camp of your lifetime? Is it? My goodness, it certainly feels like that, because the last time I can remember anywhere near this kind of buzz was, I don't know, 2005, 2007, when the Bears won a couple of NFC North titles under Lovey. I know that Chris Emma thought it was 2019 with Mitch Trubisky, but remember, under Lovey, they went to the Super Bowl following the 2006 season, so team had a lot of excitement then. They had a world-class defense. I mean, you know, it's like typical Bears MO. World-class defense, bruising running game led by Thomas Jones and Cedric Benson. Had one of the best special teams in history with Robbie Gould. Remember Robbie Gould when he was good? Brad Maynard. Goodness. And then you had the greatest kick returner of all time in Devin Hester. But what's different to me about that team from this team, although they did have a first-round pick under center in Rex Grossman, was anything but sexy. Like, they were just all the things except for hot, right? Like, if you're going to compare that Bears team to a young lady or a young man, like, good on paper, does all the right stuff, respectful, shows up on time, your parents like them, parents have a text exchange for them, maybe got a dad bod, though. Like, maybe not a great dresser, though. Take them out with your friends. You kind of like, they don't always look like this kind of thing. You know what I mean? That was the Bears. That was the Bears then. And now you look at Caleb Williams and Rome and the rest of this squad, and you're like, oh, no. This is like an Instagram thought with a PhD. That's what this has, the idea of being, right? Sexy. By the way, Rexy was anything but sexy. He had 18 turnovers. Oh, Robbie likes that one. Rexy was anything but sexy. 18 turnovers himself in the final seven games of the 2007 season. This 2024 team, in my opinion, has generated way more buzz and intrigue than those teams. Other than Caleb, which we'll discuss next segment, I've got some questions that we are sexy. Things are good, but we've got some questions. Number one question, which I think is fascinating, kind of the biggest non-talked about storyline about the Bears, is the backup quarterback situation. The Bears have chosen on purpose to say, F a backup. Nope, it's not happening for Caleb. There is none. No, sir. You get Tyler Bagent, sir. We don't even want any indication that you've got any sort of semblance of someone who can step in if things go wrong. No shot. And that is so rare, even for quarterbacks who are franchise or quarterbacks like that you know are really good. I went down the list, and there's like three or four only that don't have backups. Justin Herbert being one of them with Easton Stick. And we know how Easton Stick was. God awful. But like, to roll with Tyler Bagent shows, listen, fan base, listen, everyone, listen, you, Caleb, you are our savior, and there is no time for you to get massaged into this offense. No quarterback controversy if he struggles. No one will replace him short of death, hospital wing, because it's Bagent and Brett Rypien. By the way, Brett Rypien was so bad in his last start last year that the Rams cut him 2 days later. So, Caleb, you got to feel cozy with your position because that is you, baby, and only you. Also, curious what Shane Waldron's offense will look like. Really, really interesting that Chris Emma said, actually, it might look a little more like Luke Getsy than you think. I tell you what, I don't know about y'all, but I was like, woo, woo. I don't know if it's actually true because I've been watching YouTube highlights of the differences between the Luke Getsy system and the Shane Waldron system. More of like a Shanahan offense. A lot of like pre-snap motion. DeAndre Swift's going to be all over the field with reverses. So I think that Caleb might be in shotgun, two tight end sets. You know what I'm saying? Exciting. Right? Those Seahawks offenses were very hard to scheme for because they were very unpredictable. So in many ways, Shane Waldron's the perfect OC to me for Caleb. How is it going to look? That's the question mark. And then thirdly, the pass rush I'd like to see continue to take strides. The Bears have Montez Sweat, one of the best in the league, fresh off of a four-year, $98 million extension. He's a monster. Keep in mind, by the way, because he set a combine record as a defensive lineman for the 40 time at 4.41. And by the way, Puka Nacua ran a 4.57 40. That's disgusting, guys. That is absolutely disgusting. But the problem for me and the question for me is, other than Sweat, who's going to get after the quarterback? Who is it going to be? Will it be DeMarcus Walker stepping up? A lot of pressure is going to be put on Jervon Dexter, who is on a milk carton the first half of last year. Zero sacks, just 9 pressures in the last 8 games of last year. So either they add a veteran or somebody's got to step up their game. And then finally, to me, it's the offensive line. We all got to be wondering, questioning, and I'll get to Ray probably back after the top of the hour. But PFF is ranking the Bears number 11 for their O-line. And when asked about the starting unit, Eberflus only said, we'll see how it goes. Folks, when someone, and you ask somebody, hey, how's it going to be? And they say, well, we'll see. They are not sure themselves. Ryan Bates at center serves as the rock, but I like the young guns in Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright. We still don't know who's going to play right guard. In a perfect world, that's Nate Davis. But with his injury history, that's no sure thing. For y'all, and I will get to some calls right after the top of the hour, what do you think? What are we supposed to be looking for at training camp to either give us green flags or pink flags? I need to hear from you. 312-644-6767. And also up next, where does Caleb Williams rank in terms of his power among his peers in all of sports right now? What he just did with his contract negotiations feels a little like Michael Jordan and Nike. Do not go anywhere. We will be back. I'm Trista Crick. This is 670 The Score. We'll be back right after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.